Welcome to Caregivers and Candid Conversation Podcast. I am Lashina McBride, the host and the executive director of We Support Caregivers Incorporated. We Support Caregivers is a 501c3 organization whose mission is to encourage and empower individuals who care for their elderly loved ones to cultivate and focus on self-care. To make a donation or to learn more about us, please visit WeSupportCaregivers.org. And caregivers, while you're on our website, be sure to check out everything that we've made available to you. From our Care Connection emails that you can subscribe to, from our self-care support text that you can join, from our self-care support kits that you can sign up to possibly receive one, the birthday club, our free educational resources, and more. Again, visit WeSupportCaregivers.org and check all these resources that are available to you, the caregiver. Hey everyone, do you know that We Support Caregivers has sponsorship opportunities? What a great opportunity to support the community and promote your business at the same time. We Support Caregivers offer sponsorship levels, which include individual, small business, entrepreneurs, and corporate sponsorships. Our sponsorship packages are loaded with benefits for each sponsorship level. Some benefits include getting featured in our Care Connections newsletter, to a 60-second commercial airing during our podcast episodes. There is something for everyone. Are you interested? Visit WeSupportCaregivers.org to fill out the sponsorship interest form. Remember, your donations and contributions help us continue to help other people. We Support Caregivers Incorporated because caregivers deserve self-care.
We all know that social media is full of information, but you have to keep scrolling to find what pertains to you. Well, caregivers, did you know that you can have your information about what we offer to caregivers delivered straight to your email? We Support Caregivers has created a newsletter just for you titled The Care Connection. It's delivered to your inbox once a month. Caregivers, stay connected and stay in the know by going to our website at www.wesupportcaregivers.org and sign up today. Let us support you on your caregiving journey. We Support Caregivers because caregivers deserve self-care.
Welcome to another Caregivers in Candid Conversation podcast. It is me, your host, Lashina Renee McBride. And today we have with us none other than our executive secretary, Miss Celeste Wooten, in the studio today. So how are you, Celeste?
I am good, Lashina. I am so honored and thrilled to talk about something that our community doesn't like to talk about, and that's grief.
Right. So that's what we're discussing during this podcast, grief. Just grief in general, what it looks like, what is grief. So I'm gonna let Celeste introduce herself. We do know her. She's our faithful, loyal, you know, she's not only the executive secretary, but she's been a fan of We Support Caregivers for the longest before she became a part of it. So just knowing how she rocked the brand and supported us before, you know, becoming a board member, I was comfortable reaching out to her, asking her to take a position because she was already for us without actually being a part of us. So I'm glad that she came alongside of us and, you know, is a part of our team helping us move forth and grow. But there's way much more to her now. Hold on a minute. Let's not get it confused or twisted. Okay? There's a whole lot more to her. So I'm allowing her to share, you know, just other things and how her other roles and how it pertains to grief. And we're going to go into the podcast and move into our grief conversation. So go ahead, Celeste, let them know, you know, more about you. Other than being just the executive secretary here, you are also a...
I am a certified grief coach. I also am an end-of-life doula, where I can work with families once they get the prognosis for hospice, which is what I also do during my day job. I'm a certified hospice and palliative nursing assistant. So yes. What I've done is, with that role, I have branched off and earned other certifications mm-hmm. to learn how to help our families. Yes. Because while they are caregivers, and once that role of a caregiver ends, mm-hmm. They still need a little help. And so I kind of, you know, help guide families to let them know that it's okay to not be okay.
Yes. So I would say my first question, or just to lead us into the podcast, tell us in a nutshell, because we hear different variations of what grief is, but tell us in a nutshell, what is grief?
I would say in a nutshell, grief is a loss of anything. It
yes.
can be a person, a pet, a job, a relationship. It can actually be the loss of yourself.
Yes. Wow.
You can grieve yourself. You've lost yourself. And that is something that caregivers actually end up doing.
Yes.
They lose themselves.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
So,
yes.
You know, like I said, in a nutshell, grief is just the loss of something. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So grief. I like how you said, I mean, that was really profound, just your simple definition, but it was also profound because a lot of times we associate grief with just death of people.
Right.
But honey, a divorce can be a grief, especially
oh,
if you're the
absolutely.
One who didn't file for it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Losing a job after 20 years, that is something to grieve about.
Right. Right.
The house a person lived in, burning down, of living in after 15, I mean,
It's whatever you've lost.
That's right. Whatever you lost.
You know, then like you said, it may not be a person.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a death of a person.
Right.
But it's the grief of whatever it is that's gone from you that you no longer have access to. And again, that could even be yourself. You may
yes.
not even have access to yourself anymore.
Right. And you know what? I'm glad that you know, expounded on that, because caregivers, that it's grief, and a part of it can be anger too, because you no longer have your life as it once was.
That's right.
So the grief of losing your life as you were used to having it.
That's right.
That's grieving. It's like, so how should caregivers, when you're now the caregiver, so now what? You're the caregiver, your life is not any longer the way it used to be. How do they deal with the grief of losing their life as it was and now taking on the role and being very present of being the caregiver now?
Well, as a caregiver, your grief journey actually starts that day
mm-hmm.
because you are trying to figure out how to take care of yourself or your family plus your loved one. So your journey actually starts that day. And I would tell people when that starts,
mm-hmm.
you have to take the time to figure out, like, you know, you may not be able to run out and go get your nails done every week.
There you go.
But guess what? You could take 15 or 30 minutes at your own home and maybe do a little nail filing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that grief journey starts with what I say is, the new you, the
you
new
go.
Adjustment.
Okay. Okay.
So you're grieving what you've lost because you can't do the Starbucks runs all the time
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, but you are having a new adjustment.
Okay.
And so when you start that new adjustment, your attitude's going to change a little bit.
That's true. That's true.
You know, some resentment may start creeping
That's
up.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
you know, and you have to learn ways of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
to adapt to that new journey.
Right.
And whatever that may look like for you, if that's just 10, 15 minutes a day of, you know, woosah because of what's going on, or just getting away and understanding that, you know what, I've been given this job to do. And I got to figure out how to still do that but my life is a little bit different now. How do I adjust to that? And you do have that grief. You have that, you right. get angry.
Yeah.
Because you, what you're so used to doing, and you can't do that anymore.
Right.
You
right.
know?
So I would say, basically what you're saying is, you're going to go through an adjustment period. They have to go through an adjustment period. And during that adjustment period, I would say, find what is good about the situation, what is joyful about the situation. It might take you a little time. It might take you a little bit of time.
Right. And it's almost like it's a mourning period.
Yeah. Like you're mourning. That's it.
It's a mourning period. Just like when somebody passes.
There you go.
And you had that mourning period.
There you go.
You're starting your mourning period a little bit earlier. Right. Because you're mourning what you're either about to lose, what you've already lost.
There you go.
And now you got to adjust your life to that.
And that can be.
And that mourning period can last for a little while.
Right. Oh, yeah. Because it's, and I would say as the days go by, you realize this is my new normal now. This is my new normal. But that's what it is. They're mourning the loss of their life, mourning the loss of themselves mm-hmm. and what they were used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say allow yourself to mourn, but you still got to get adjusted to the new norm.
Right. And don't feel guilty about the mourning.
There you go.
Do not feel guilty about it, because one, you're still human. And two, it is an adjustment. I don't care how old you are or, you know, how long you've been out of your parents' home. It's an adjustment for anybody.
Yeah.
And do not feel guilty for any kind of emotions that come up.
There you go.
Because again, a mourning period, all kind of emotions start happening.
Yeah.
It's life. It happens.
Right.
You know, so don't feel guilty about that.
So what I want to know is, or maybe somebody listening, what does grief look like? Like sometimes, and I'm gonna tell you for me, what my mom was the first death I ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, grieving wasn't crying, being balled up in a ball. Grieving wasn't crying and being balled up in a corner, in a ball. That wasn't my grief. And I would say the reason why my grief wasn't that way is because I grieved her when she was living, because I watched the transition. I watched her decline.
Right, right.
So when she was alive, but not really living because of the limitations and the things she couldn't do, just because it was all related to her health, I grieved during the process of taking care of her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my grief didn't, like, and I said this on other podcasts before, I said, when my mom died, it was a relief and a release.
That's right.
So grief for me didn't look like the hysterical, typical grief.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what does grief have a look? What are the different types of grief? But before you do that, does grief have a certain look? Because I think sometimes people think grief should look a certain way. And I also believe sometimes people get judged because they don't grieve according to the stereotype of how it should look. There you go. So go ahead. I'm going to let you elaborate on that.
To me, grief is however you think it should be.
Okay.
Because there's no picture. There's no, you know, we don't have pictures to say, this is what you should look like when you grieve. But society,
come on,
feels like you should be, you know, strewn out on the floor and hollering and some people may do that. I'm not judging.
Oh, absolutely.
But that does not qualify to everybody. I know me personally. I've lost my father and I lost my father-in-law. And grief for me was with my own father. I saw him in the hospital. I didn't cry. Went to the funeral. I didn't cry. Grief didn't hit me until maybe 3 or 4 months later. My grief manifested itself in my health.
Okay.
I got sick because I wasn't releasing it. It started shutting my body down.
Wow. Wow.
So grief manifested itself in my health.
Okay.
Sometimes grief manifests itself for people mentally. Like they just, their anxiety and their depression can just really get out of control. And they may not understand, like, what is happening to me? So, you know, they don't think, oh, I'm sad because I miss, you know, it can really play with you. Wow. And like I said, you know, I'm speaking from experience with the health thing. I mean, it was wreaking havoc.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of people don't think that grief can do that to you. No, grief can put you down.
Wow.
And, you know, some people, you know, think that, you know, it's a bad thing to say, you know what, today is a bad day. I just, you know, everybody feels like you should be smiling and, you know, that whole your loved one's in a better place. No, please don't say that. Because one, that person may feel like, no, that person's supposed to be here with me.
Right, right.
That person may be angry. And right. Everybody's grief journey is different.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, you may want to cry a lot. Well, I may want to just laugh and giggle and remember the memories, and mm-hmm. everybody looking at me like, what's wrong with you? Didn't you just lose somebody?
Right.
So everybody's grief is going to be different and how it manifests itself, because we're all different.
I like it. I like it.
You know, and as a society, you know, people think the death, the funeral, the burial, you get back to life. And that doesn't, it's not the case for some people.
Right.
I know, you know, with me, I'm still on my grief journey.
Right.
And so for me, you know, I work on myself physically mm-hmm. to help my mental, to mm-hmm. help my emotional, you know, that's how I deal with my grief. So I tell people all the time, I'm like, grief has no,
look,
you know,
no
look,
color, no
color, no, no, nothing. It is whatever you feel. Grief is whatever you feel it is.
Okay. Let's clear up, because you touched on it. Let's clear up the phases you shouldn't say when someone is grieving.
Yes, Lord.
The phases you shouldn't, the phrases you shouldn't say when someone is grieving.
They're in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Not being funny, but how do you know where they at?
Okay.
You know, depending on their spirit, how do you know where they went?
That's true.
Oh, you know what I'm
girl,
saying?
Girl, don't, let's, that's a whole nother podcast for another day.
And then, you know, I don't like for people to say, I know how you feel.
Do you?
Because I lost someone too. I shared with a lady the other day that I was speaking with, and she, you know, she expressed that she was missing a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And I let her talk. And I said, I'm going to say this to you. And I want to explain why I'm saying it. And I said, I am not going to tell you I know how you feel. She said, well, you do. You lost someone too. I said, but I don't know how you feel.
Right.
I said, so here's what I'm going to say to you. I hold space for your feelings. I validate your feelings and I support your feelings. And she looked at me and she says, I have never heard anybody say that to me. She's like, I always hear, I know how you feel. I lost my mom, such and such and such and such. You don't know how someone feels.
Right.
Because it's totally different,
right.
You know? Because again, everybody's grief journey is unique to them.
Right.
I don't like for people to say, well, it'll get better with time. No, not necessarily.
Mm.
It's not that it gets better with time. You just learn to live with your new normal without your loved one.
Yeah.
It doesn't make the wound go away. It doesn't make the hurt go away. It just, you just learn to live with it. You learn to progress with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're moving forward in life
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just tell people to please be cognizant of what you say, because you never want to diminish somebody's grief journey and throw yourself into it when it don't have nothing to do with you.
Right. So listen, let me stop right here. Okay. I have to honestly say, and I heard Devon Franklin say this, because you know how the divorce he and Megan.
Right. Right.
he said he had to allow himself to feel his pain. I thought, and it triggered, like, okay. So in this moment, right, even though someone has to progress through grief, that's not numbing yourself. How can someone progress through the grief without it getting to the point of them numbing how they feel, like they're just getting numb? Like, they have to be aware. They have to be aware of how they feel to be present with the pain, because that's they're navigating through it. But they need to navigate through it and not numb themselves to it.
Right.
How do they do that? Like, how do you? Okay, someone, your mom died. You still got to get back to your life, but you still, you know, it's still fresh. But you don't want someone to keep moving forward and not feel the pain. But they need to feel the pain and not be consumed by it to the point where they can't move forward. Well, you don't want someone to become numb. How do they balance all that out?
I have always said, sit in your feelings.
There you go.
Sit in them. They're going to hurt. It's going to feel awful. But don't live in them.
There you go. Okay.
You got to sit in them. And that was a hard thing. I had to sit in my emotions. And my emotions ran from mad to, you know, some days I was good. And then I'd run back to mad. But I had to learn how to live with it. And there's no magic number of how long it should take you. Because again, if you're just numbing it and it comes back up again, it, you don't know how hard that trigger is going to be, what that trigger is going to do to you. And I always say to people when they ask me, like, well, how long should it be before, you know, I start feeling normal again? And I'm like, well, what's normal to you? You know, your normal is going to change a little bit. And I always say, if you feel like you need to go talk to someone,
there you go.
Please do. Please
right,
do.
Right.
Go talk to a professional. It's not going to make you look crazy. It is not going to make you
look. They need
look,
help processing and
grief. Yeah, you need help to process what you're feeling, because one, if you can't figure out how to start that daily progression a little bit, you know, and I'm not saying you're supposed to, you know, bury your loved one and on the next day you're supposed to be on the road to recovery. No, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
Because again, grief is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And you just, you know, that baton passing, those are milestones. Learning to live with it. Okay, that's milestone number one. Number two, getting back out there and starting to live a little bit, do your activities a little different without your loved one. That's milestone number two. Baton number two. It's a marathon. You're just going to keep going.
Okay. You said if someone's struggling with not pretty much moving forward, like moving along, that they should seek someone.
Right.
When should someone, if someone is able to realize, because it might be another family member or somebody else who realized, hey, ever since dad died, so-and-so haven't been the same. If a person realized that, what would be some things that you might need to notify a professional about or start seeking a professional grief therapist or something like that? Like, what would be some signs, like if they're doing things that are unhealthy or like toxic or like just what?
Not eating.
Okay.
Not wanting to get up out of the bed.
Okay.
Not showering.
Okay.
Just even your normal basic things. It's normal to not want to do those things the first couple of days after it's happened. But if it's a lingering and you're seeing it week after week and, you know, they're not wanting to eat, they're not wanting to do anything, they don't want to talk it to anybody, and it's an ongoing pattern, then yes. I would say you might want to possibly seek out some, you know, additional help, because the process, you just need a little guidance, a little hand holding.
The process and the grief.
Yeah.
And managing the grief and,
right,
you know,
some
processing
people,
your pain
it's hard.
And your feelings and getting your emotions off. Okay.
Especially if you've been a caregiver for a very long time to someone, and now all of a sudden that role is no more needed, and that's what you gave your life to. And, you know, depending on if there was any trauma related to that grief and caregiving, and, you know, it's so many factors related.
It
can pile up. And again, it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to reach out to somebody.
Right. So let me ask you this. Okay. And I'm not going to say his name. I'm going to talk about it. So we know a certain male celebrity who's been going around fathering a lot of children.
Yes.
Okay. So now looking back, he was married to a celebrity, high profile singer.
Mm-hmm.
For a few years, she ended up getting a divorce from him. Okay. That is trauma. That is grief.
Mm-hmm.
Then a few years later, he fathers a child, but end up losing that child as the child was an infant.
Mm-hmm.
More grief. Do you think someone grief can manifest by having that being overly, being promiscuous?
Oh,
can
yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Can that be a way of person
Because you're
grief?
You're looking for that love. You're looking for that belonging to somebody.
Mm.
You're looking for that momentary of somebody needs me in that moment.
Mm.
Yes.
And that's the way I look at that particular person. I've prayed for him, but I really believe when you look back, because he really was in love with that woman. He was in love with that woman, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, years go by and boom, she filed for a divorce. Okay. I believe that with that, and then he ended up losing a child later on.
Right.
I think all that triggered, and I really believe that him going around fathering a lot of children, that being promiscuous like that, I really believe that's a part of how his grief is manifesting. That doesn't mean we condone that type of behavior,
right?
But I'm talking about the grief, you know, and looking at, you know, just going back some, and who knows of other things that he experienced, trauma, you know, losses, what have you, could trigger that type of, or grief can be manifested in that type of way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Grief can be manifested in someone, I've seen it personally, where grief was manifested in someone just spending money like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they were just not thinking, and they were just mad at the world, and they were buying stuff, and I'm like, what's happening? And that was a manifestation of grief. And she eventually found that out because she sought help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she started telling, you know, what she was doing. And that was her grief. And she was like, I don't need none of this stuff. Well, come to find out, everything that she was buying was related to the person that passed.
Look at that. How the grief manifested.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything that she bought was related to the person that passed.
Wow, that's amazing. So you being a grief coach, explain what that is and where your role is in the journey of helping someone navigate grief or, you know, get through it.
With a grief coach, I allow people to talk with me about what's going on. I remind them that I am not a counselor. I am not a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of gauge to see where their grief is. We do some exercises to kind of help them navigate their new normal. But I am also trained to recognize trigger words, trigger phrases.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of sessions of talking with them, or if it's a family, I can, you know, recommend that they do seek out additional help from someone who is a counselor or a therapist. But a lot of the times it's just having someone that they want to talk to validate what they're feeling, to validate that they did a good job by their loved one, and to really just to say that they're not crazy for feeling the way that they feel. Because, you know, again, you know, you get some children who tell their parents, you know, well, you know, we're going to take care of you. Dad is good now and you don't have to worry about that. But you don't understand the dynamics. They might have been married 50 some years.
Wow.
You know, you have the child and the parent dynamic, but they had the spouse dynamic. They were Mr. and Mrs. before they became parents.
That's right. That's
so
right.
The dynamics is different. So sometimes it's I've had, you know, couples where they've lost the spouse and, you know, the children don't understand that. And sometimes the spouse that's left behind, they just need somebody to validate the fact that their grief is different from their child's grief.
Got it.
So it's just helping them navigate and recognize, you know, if any additional help is needed. I do exercises with them. Mm-hmm. I recommend books that they can use. There's a couple of books that I use as resources. So I'm really there to be a sounding board.
Okay.
Really. And just, you know, letting them know that there's a person that has no, you know, relationship to the situation, and that I'm there to just listen and do what I can.
So you provide a safe space for them, a neutral ground,
right?
No judgment zone.
None.
Okay. So Celeste, tell us like how many stages of grief that they may be, what they may look like, so someone or maybe someone around the person who is grieving can identify the stages and what, or maybe, you know, you tell them what the stages are, a person can kind of know what to expect. But if you can go in and let us know what the different phases or stages of grief are, and maybe an example of what that could look like for someone.
Okay, so there's actually 5 stages of grief. So the first one is denial.
Okay.
Which is, it's a normal reaction to rationalize the overwhelming emotions that you start experiencing as soon as that grief starts up. You're like, you know, you don't want to talk about it. It ain't, nothing's real. You know, it'll be all right. You know, I'm good. You just, you know, I'm fine. I'm fine. That's the famous phrase. I'm fine.
Okay,
you know,
so you're just
denying everything that's going on. So it's a defense mechanism and it buffers the shock of the loss. And then you have the second phase, which is the anger phase. That is, it's as the numbing effects of the denial starts to wear off.
Here comes anger.
Here it comes. The pain of the loss starts welling up in you, and you're like, you know what? You're mad at the world. You're looking for people to start blaming. You know, I know. I personally, when my father passed away, I was blaming the doctors. I was blaming the techs. I was blaming everybody. You know, y'all let my daddy die. You know, but there was nothing that they could do. And it wasn't their fault.
Right.
But I was looking for someone to pin that anger on, you know, because they were the closest things around when my dad died. So they were about to catch it from me, unfortunately. So then the third one becomes the bargaining.
Bargaining. Well, what is
which
that?
Is the what if stage of grief. And it serves an important purpose to the stages of grief.
Okay.
Because it provides a temporary escape.
A temporary escape.
From the pain.
Okay.
It provides hope from it. And then it gives a person time to adjust to the reality. So you're bargaining like, okay, you know, maybe. And
okay.
What if, and you just, it takes you out of the anger, the being mad, because you just start bargaining stuff, you know? Then, unfortunately, the stage number 4 is depression,
which
that is a word that we all hear.
Yeah.
But this type of depression is not a sign of mental illness.
Okay.
I know that, you know, depression is a big word for, you know, for right now. But it is an appropriate response for someone who's experienced a great loss.
Okay.
To get depressed.
So
about,
it's kind of natural.
It's a natural depression. If you could think of it that way, it's a natural depression.
Okay.
You might experience intense sadness. You're not sleeping as well. you don't want to eat and you get a loss of motivation, it's common. But like we were saying a little while ago, if that starts to linger and it just keeps going and going and you're noticing that, you know, you just don't want to do anything. It's almost like you just gave up on everything. You gave up on life. You need to really possibly seek help.
Okay.
And then finally, the last stage, which is stage number five, which is acceptance. Acceptance. You accept the loss. You accept the fact that your loved one is no longer with you, and that there's nothing you can do to change it. And number five takes a little while to get to because, you know, and it's not saying that you're okay with the loss.
Right.
You're just accepting the fact that they're gone.
Correct.
You're not okay with it.
Right.
But you're accepting the fact that they're gone.
So let me ask you this. Does any of those stages have a period? Like, what if somebody stay in the anger stage for 3 years? Or what if somebody stay in the denial stage for five? Is there a limit per stage? Should it be alarming if someone stayed in a stage long other than a depression stage? Should it be alarming? Like,
I would say everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's grief is unique, like a fingerprint.
So even the different stages.
Even in the different stages, if you're noticing again, because if you're noticing you're just having a hard time accepting what has happened, you're mad at the world, and again, that natural depression is starting to become a little bit more intense.
Seek therapy.
And I mean, you know, again, I know people that are grieving someone 5 years, but they're living their life. They're just still missing the person.
They're functioning.
So that grief is, you know, they've gone through the stages, but they're still missing the person. And it still hurts. Yeah. I mean, I know people that's been missing somebody 20 years. It still hurts.
All right, let me ask you this. So how do I want to put this? What if someone is grieving and it's more so coming from a guilty place? Like, they know they weren't good to their mom or their dad. They know they weren't that child that was there. They know they said some harsh things. Like, talk to that person right now. Talk to that could actually been a caregiver who may not, you know, did the best job of caregiving. They didn't know how to, or, you know, they just feel guilt. Talk to that person right now that is struggling. They're grieving, but it's more so from a place of guilt. And they can tell you, I didn't do this and I should have. I didn't, you know what I mean? I don't know if that fits in one of those phases that you just listed, but it could be somebody that is grieving along with being guilty. Mm-hmm. What would you say to that person?
With that person, I would say, one, thank you for recognizing that.
Yeah.
Okay. At least thank you for recognizing that you might not have done everything. That you might have had some resentment and you didn't do your caregiving, you know, duties, you know, that you thought you should. And I commend you for recognizing that. But I think sometimes if that guilt is so overwhelming and so powerful, you may need someone to speak about. Because until you can release that guilt, it's going to take you a minute to truly be able to grieve the way you need to without that guilt.
Because would you say the guilt is like a buffer or a filter?
Yes. I would say the guilt is like a filter because you're not really grieving. You're feeling you're like, man, I didn't do this, that, and the other. Well, how can you grieve? Because you're feeling a little ashamed or embarrassed that you didn't do X, Y, Z. So that sometimes that might be, you know, the filter for the grief. So I would say
like a delay in true grieving.
Yeah, I would say you need to find someone that you trust, that you could talk to, and relinquish that guilt so that the grief can finally start happening, and then you can work on, you know, letting it go. Yeah,
going through the phases and stuff. Well, I really thank you, Celeste, for making the time to share all this information. I'm sure it's valuable to anyone who listens, but definitely our caregivers, because here's what we're not going to be able to avoid. The death, the transition, like the person that you're taking care of, you're not going to always take care of. Like mine might have been as long, like when I was taking care of my mom, you know, and I started around the age of 19, my journey was a long journey with her. It was a long journey with her, but that's not going to be the case for everybody. Right. And still, you know, sure along, grief is, we're going to have to go through grief. So I would say, you know, from what I would say, what you confirmed or what I've learned, grief does not have a look, a color. Grief doesn't even have a time frame. Grief looks different for everyone. It's just allowing yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to feel the pain. Allow yourself to be in tune to your emotions so you can navigate that grief process, that grief journey.
Exactly.
So I do appreciate you coming, explaining, providing knowledge, education about grief, sharing what your role is as a grief coach. I appreciate you. And of course, I appreciate everything that you do here at We Support Caregivers. You make my role as executive director a lot easy and smoother just because your willingness and your willing spirit to want to help and volunteer to do this. And, you know, I appreciate you. I really, really do. Now the public knows how much I appreciate you. Whoever listening knows.
Thank you.
And you and the rest of the team, like, I appreciate you ladies, you know, what you do, what you bring. So I'm thankful and I'm blessed to have you on, you know, We Support Caregivers, our team.
Thank you.
So we appreciate Celeste. And that's going to be the end of our podcast. Make sure you stay tuned to listen to Caregivers and Candid Conversation podcast right here on We Support Caregivers Incorporated.
What does self-care look like to you? Does it look like meditation or journaling? Does it look like putting on your comfiest outfit or having a dance break? Does it maybe even look like listening to a podcast, going for a walk, spending time with family and friends? Self-care can look different for each person, but we would like to share some starting points with you. You can go to our website at www.wesupportcaregivers.org and sign up for our self-care support kit. We choose a deserving caregiver each month to send these intentional items to support your self-care development. We support caregivers because caregivers deserve self-care.
Entrepreneurs, content creation should never be your concern. Socially Established LLC is a social media management business whose mission is to alleviate entrepreneurs and small business owners from managing their social media. Socially Established LLC offers content creation and social media management packages for your convenience. Remember, you were never meant to manage everything on your own. Visit sociallyestablished.com to choose your service package today. Socially Established LLC, establishing what entrepreneurs need.
We all know that social media is full of information, but you have to keep scrolling to find what pertains to you. Well, caregivers, did you know that you can have your information about what we offer to caregivers delivered straight to your email? We Support Caregivers has created a newsletter just for you titled The Care Connection. is delivered to your inbox once a month. Caregivers, stay connected and stay in the know by going to our website at www.wesupportcaregivers.org and sign up today. Let us support you on your caregiving journey. We support caregivers because caregivers deserve self-care.